Good morning, everyone. Great to be back with you. I missed you all last week as I was away and involved in a few other things. As always, life is an adventure. Last week I found myself, and I still question how I got there, at a livestock auction. I was in charge of managing the barn, of all things. And so I was the one chasing animals up and down the chute where they would auction the animals, and learn many things in the process, some of which I'll share with you this morning. But as we look to God's word, as always, our hope is to be encouraged and reminded of those things that God has for us and desires for us today. And as we dive into his word and just want to look at some of the words of Paul this morning that have to do with living a life with purpose, or a life set apart this morning. And I pray that we'll be encouraged. Let's pause for a word of prayer and then we'll dive in. Lord, thank you that this morning again we can come before you, that this morning that as we open our hearts and minds, that we can allow you to speak. Again, I pray this morning that we would be listening for your words alone. We live in a world that is bombarding us with messages about what we need, what we should be or should do. And yet the truth is, we desire your voice. We desire to please you and you alone. And I pray that as we open your word this morning again, we'd be encouraged of those things and the way in which you call us to live, that we might be those who are pleasing to you, servants, children, loved ones of a holy God who desires to use us, change us, mold us, and shape us. And I pray this morning again that you would just be about your great and holy work in the midst of our hearts and lives as we look unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we begin this morning, I always like to start in reminding us where we've been so that we can look forward and know where we're going. And that is, in the last few weeks, I know last week Chris was sharing with you a little bit about the journey and climbing in God's way. But as we proceeded that Sunday, there was a few things. One was looking at pruning with purpose, a God who is trimming and shaping and molding our lives. And as we look back, we remember not only the good things, the highs and the highlights, but also how important it is for us to remember the difficult things, those branches that have been pruned off, and how they equally are a testimony to our growth and to where God is taking us and how God is shaping us. We also looked at what it meant to live with purpose, a life in which, as I shared with you, that people might see our lives and say words like, wow, what a faith. For those who remember, we were looking at what it means to live in such a way, and not just in the big and the extravagant, but what I like to call the miraculous in the midst of the mundane. That God would use us, and in the way we live, that people, as we rub elbows in our daily lives, would see not just us, not just who we are, but more importantly, see the God in whom we trust. They would see our faith by the way in which we live. And they would be struck by that, not us again, but by the God who supports us. And as the Lord has just been pressing on my heart and mind, it's been that very thing. What does it mean to live in that way? A life with purpose. And we looked at that Sunday, Paul, in sharing his purpose. And remember this, the purpose of the church, Romans 1:12, that we might be mutually encouraged, you by my faith and me by yours. That is, that we come together, we congregate, that we might encourage one another to press on in the Lord as we share God's work in our lives and that journey of faith, our testimony, our journey in him. And that's Paul living a life of purpose, purposing, as he writes in the book of Romans, to come to them and be an encouragement to them, not only that they would be encouraged by his faith, but that they would be encouraged in turn by his, that he might be encouraged by theirs. There's no better statement that Paul writes than in Romans 1 and chapter 1. in which he opens his letter by saying these words, and let me read them to you. Romans 1:1, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. I'm going to stop there, and really this morning, well, what has struck me is this, that Paul is living a life set apart for the gospel, a life set on a purpose. And the book of Romans actually will go on and talk about that purpose, and he's going to talk about much of that. But here, as he begins, as he does many of his letters, he talks about this, that he's a bond servant, that he is an apostle set apart for a purpose. Now, I mentioned to you that I had some interesting experience last week, and if there's anything I learned, it was that daily, as God's been reminding me, I need to be one who lives with purpose. How often I get caught making decisions and doing things, caught on a whim, caught living outside of my reason for being, why I'm there. And there's no better place to learn that than an auction. Why do you say that? Well, one, it was bizarre, and I don't know, again, how I got myself into this, but I was in charge of this barn, and so my role was to organize the animals, pen the animals, run the animals as the auctioneer would at this farm auction, auction them off, try not to get trampled by the animals, which for the most part, other than a large kick in the thigh from one cow, who I will not name because he's in the bad books, I stayed intact. But here's the interesting thing. At the end of an auction, not only did I have to receive the animals, I had to then give the animals to their respective buyers. And here's the most interesting point. When people come up after an auction and they've bought an animal, fascinating to hear the number of them that were not planning to leave with one that day. And I will tell you, I loaded two calves into a minivan, a pig in a leather-seated minivan. I gave several potbelly pigs to people who showed up and said, I wasn't planning on leaving here with a pig this morning. And many, and here's where this has become an amazing opportunity and why I was there. It's an awesome just outreach and rub elbows with our local agriculture community, and one in which we're getting to know more and more people. But often at something like this, we've now become the default counselors to those who show up saying, and this is not... not untrue at all, had a lady come up who bought a calf, a bottle calf, who'd been taken and auctioned, and this was the response. Bought a calf, can you tell me what to feed it? Can I give it table scraps? Now, if you're not a farmer, you may not understand that a calf... is not like a dog, and no, you cannot give it table scraps. And what kicked off afterwards was running around trying to find bottles at our farm. Buckerfield's closes in 5 minutes, running for milk replacer, right? Trying to set these people up and trying to give them a network, a support group of what to do with this animal. This happened with pigs. One person collects a potbelly pig and says, oh, I just had to. It was so cute. And I said, wow. And then after all of this, she's picked up the one she bought. And then she says, is it a girl? And it dawned on them at that moment, right? And I had to then take the pig and show them that it was, in fact, not a girl. And then the words, oh, no, what am I going to do now? I wanted a girl. Right? Spontaneity, for better or for worse, watching people put pigs on leather seats. It was fascinating. But for a moment, they had come to the auction for a reason, for a purpose. And what did they do? In a moment of spontaneity, they stepped outside the bounds of why they were there. They were there to buy a chicken or two. They were there to look at the farm equipment. They were there to just see the animals. And in a moment of weakness, what did they do? They did something they weren't intending. Here's Paul. I'm living a life set apart for the gospel. And this is what he calls himself, a bond servant. Why is that important this morning? Because in our translations, and that word can be translated servant, the root meaning is actually this word, doulos. And if you take it to its right degree, it actually means this, slave. I'm a slave. And Paul is living a life in which he says, I am a bond servant of Christ. I am a doulos. I am a slave. He is one who is not doing what we might catch on a whim outside of his purpose or parameters. He's the servant of one master. And Paul, as a bond servant of Christ, called as an apostle, is going to live a life, what? Set apart for the gospel. And this morning, I hope you could be encouraged, as God has been encouraging me, that day by day, I need to wake up and remember that this day is not a day in which I am here to do my own bidding. I am here to take part in this whim or that whim, this moment of weakness, this sidetrack event. But as a bond slave of Christ, why am I here? To do his will. To accomplish his way in my life. Now, he calls himself an apostle. And again, in case we haven't been there. What's an apostle? It was an office given to those who were witnesses of Christ and now messengers of this gospel, as we read in the New Testament. But as we look at the root, it was this: one sent with a message. Paul was sent with a message, but what was important was this, that the apostles were not just sent with something to say, they were sent in the authority of the one who sent them. That's why when you have an apostle, if they say something, when you get angry, it wasn't to be angry with the messenger, right? And we hear that time and again, don't kill the messenger. Why? Because the messenger was only conveying a message. The authority was in the one who sent it. And often the head would come back of the messenger in response to the message. But here's Paul. I'm an apostle. I'm sent with a message. Here's my authority. The one who sent me, Jesus Christ, the one to whom I'm a bond slave. Now, as we look at that, there's something even more than Paul calling himself doulos, a slave. And that's this picture of a bond slave. And it's been a great reminder today of this, that a bond slave was something even more than just a slave. It's interesting that when you get into the scriptures and begin to read, it's in Exodus chapter 20 that we read the Ten Commandments. And God, in a fiery pillar on Mount Sinai, speaking in thunder and lightning, begins to speak these statements that are his commands. And as the people listen in fear and trembling, it goes on, and afterwards, God begins to give his ordinance to Moses for the people. And the very first one he gives is one about slaves. But what's interesting is not just that the first one is about slaves, but what we find out about them. Listen to this in Exodus 21 and verse 2. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years, but on the seventh he shall go out as a free man without payment. If he comes alone, he shall go out alone. If he is the husband of a wife, then his wife shall go out with him. Isn't that interesting? That the very first thing we hear about in God's ordinances as he builds on these Ten Commandments is that there is slavery. But notice this, that in the midst of slavery, every slave actually deserves to be free. God wanted the slave to be free. It was never a permanent thing. It was never to be a permanent place. And yet this slave would be set free after 6 years' service. That was a slave, a Hebrew slave. And yet what was a bond slave? A bond slave was this. And I'll read for you in Deuteronomy 15 and verse 12. Remember that 6 years in which a slave was to go free? If your kinsman, a Hebrew man or woman, is sold to you, then he shall serve you 6 years, but in the seventh year you shall set him free. When you set him free, you shall not send him away empty-handed. You shall furnish him liberally from your flock and from your threshing floor and from your wine vat. You shall give to him as the Lord your God has given and blessed you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you today, it shall come about, if he says, I will not go out from you, because he loves you and your household, since he fares well with you. Then you shall take an awl and pierce it through his ear into the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Also you shall do likewise to your maid servant. Exodus 21 puts it this way, but if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out as a free man. Isn't that fascinating? Not only was there a provision to be free from slavery, but in God's economy and in God's laws, there was also a provision to be what? Free, but also to be a chosen slave, a slave by choice. And so if you enjoyed the service of your master, if you loved them and longed to be in their service continually, then you would refuse to go out. You would refuse to go out, and at that point, they would take you to the doorpost, put your ear against the post, and take a metal awl and drive it through your ear. And at that moment, at that point, you had become not just a slave, but a bond slave. That freedom every 6 years no longer had any place for the bond slave. Why? Because any slave could serve for 6 years and then be free. A bond slave was a slave by choice, a slave for the rest of their life. Why? Because they longed and loved the household of the master. This is Paul. Paul says, I am Paul, a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. One who has come, not just under compulsion as a slave, but one who by choice has what? Chosen a life of servanthood. Servanthood to a master who is good, who is right, and who is righteous. And for this reason, as an apostle, as we read, I am set apart for the gospel of God. My question this morning is, do we carry that same purpose with which we live? That we have shed all other masters, all other ownership, all other things that may have claim on our lives for the service of one. So often in my life, things come up, and perhaps as this last weekend taught me, sidetrack events, spur of the moment, spontaneous emotions. Ooh, that's cute. I need one. Right? Oh, let's do this. No, when you have chosen the servanthood of the master, when you have truly become a bondslave of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is to choose to shed all the other voices for the voice of one. It is to choose from that day forward that what freedoms perhaps you once enjoyed, you now have set aside. The longings you may have had to do this or do that, now you have set your course, and it is to be unaltered in where you are going and in what you're doing. I need to be reminded of this because it is easy to be sidetracked. As I was mentioning, we live in a world full of voices telling you what you need to be, what you need to do, where you need to go, how you need to talk. And the reality is today that we need to live before the audience of one. And today, as we live, remind ourselves, that's my purpose. That's my direction. I think sometimes, and I was reading a book about brains, probably because mine is so faulty, I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with the wiring, and looking that sometimes there are, and I think I might be in this group of people with short-sighted frontal lobe issues in which they need to even make a manifesto of the day in which every morning they wake up, they need to reread why they're there and what they're doing. Have you ever been that way? I am all the time, in which you get up in the morning and go, oh yeah, it is my purpose to be a father to my children. It is my purpose to love my wife sacrificially. It is my purpose. Do you see what I'm saying? And it was doing a case study on a group of people that actually began to benefit. Why? Because their minds, if it's anything like mine, by the time you went to bed and woke up in the morning, you forgot. You forgot. It could be the most monumental thing. It could be the greatest thing in your life, and yet, in the moment, you forget. Forget who you are. Forget what you're about. Forget why you're there. And the encouragement was that in these scenarios, they made this morning manifesto in which in one page they could write, here's my purpose, here's what I'm doing, here's where I'm going. So that as they got up, they'd read it and say, this is it. No sidetracks. We often find ourselves, somewhat younger people building a farm, friends with many older people at the retirement stage winding down their farm. And they'll pull up with their truck and they have nothing better to do than to shoot the breeze for like 3 hours about their cows and what their cows are doing. And they like to look at your cows and they like to tell you about the cows. Do you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, if you're not thinking about it, 2 hours are gone, and the whole list for the day, shot. It was amazing, because the other day, I was in work mode. I was going to get stuff done, and a talker showed up. And I knew it. And so I said, welcome here. So good to have you, right? And I brought him and his partner. They went to our house. Fiona, look who's here for a visit. And in the process, they're like, hi, how you doing? I snuck out the back. Right? Snuck out the back and went back to what I was doing. And this gentleman came over to me and after visiting for like half an hour, comes over, says, hey, I want to stop you just for a second because I want to actually, I want to applaud you. I saw what you did. You passed me off. And he said, this happens all the time on my farm. people distract me, and I know how it is, and I want to, you did a good thing there. And I said, thank you. And then he proceeded to talk to me for another half hour about what a good thing it was what I did and totally took me away from what I was doing. It was amazing. It was amazing. But in that moment, guess what? So easy to step out that door. I've got my list for the day. I've got my purpose and my priority. And what? Gone. Because this happened. And this person wants me to help them with that. And there are days in which I have to say no. Why? Because here's what I'm about. That's practically. But those practical life lessons are always mirrored and parallel to those spiritually. That as many physical distractions are in a day, there will be spiritual distractions trying to pull you away from your purpose. Here's Paul. I am a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, living a life set apart for the gospel. Yeah, but you come and do this? No, that doesn't fit with who I am and where I'm going. Here's what I'm about. The gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage people in their faith and be encouraged by theirs. Don't sidetrack me. You see, Paul was a bondservant, a slave by choice. And today, I love the picture. Because you look back and there is such rich visual substance as we read our Old Testament. Because they would take that servant and of all the strange places, take you to a doorpost. And how amazing is it how many places in Scripture we see the door. Jesus said, what? John chapter 10? I am the door to my sheep. They will enter through me. It was on that doorpost that the blood of the Lamb would be painted as they exited Egypt, wasn't it? And on that doorpost, not only was their blood, not only was Jesus our door, but it was that door who would what? Be pierced. And they would be pierced on that door, and for the rest of their lives, they would carry with them the scar of the piercing. The scar that would go with them, the mark of a servant. Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 6. Listen to what he says, Galatians 6 and verse 14. But may it never be that I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. He had the markings of one who had given his life as a whole. He would go on and say these things as we read Paul's writings in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Do you notice something? There was something in direct confliction to his servanthood, to his being a bondslave. And that was this, being a man-pleaser. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. He talks about that in Romans, in which he says in Romans 16, such men are slaves, not of our Lord, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. You see, Paul was at work and waging war against the many distractions, trying to steal and grab them from what he knew was his reason, his purpose, his call. Today, I want to encourage you, as we often do, to ask the question. Because every slave deserved freedom. That freedom was not necessarily freedom from slavery, as we put it, but freedom to choose your master. Freedom to come out from one master and be free to make your own. Free to now no longer, as he put it, be slaves to sin. But as Christ would free us, redeem us, now free to be slaves to righteousness. At one point you had no choice but to be a slave. Now, through Christ, a choice, free to be a slave to the right master. And on, I'm forced to ask the question, what have I become a slave to? And sometimes, as the consummate peace people pleaser, I have to ask myself, am I a slave to the people who show up at my property with a demand? Do you know what I mean? Am I a slave to the opinions of my friends? Have I become a slave to the habits and addictions that often entangle us? Am I a slave to so many things? Or have I enjoyed the freedom of Christ that has allowed me to become a slave to those no longer but his slave? A slave in which now I can shed every other encumbrance and enjoy his purpose. As we continue on, and I hope perhaps as we enter into this summer season, we could enjoy digging in God's word and looking what it continues to mean to live a life set apart. Set apart for the gospel of Christ. One sent with a message. But it all starts with first understanding slavery. Choosing your master. And whereas Paul would write in Corinthians, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Where we shed the mastering of so many things, today we claim and choose for Christ to be our master. That as he shines the light of his gospel on our hearts, we might have the wisdom to know his ways today. Are you a bond servant of the Lord Jesus? Have you become a bond slave? Today, often, as I've told you before, in my walk, Christ becomes a mere companion. A good part of. As I've shared with you before, the words of a friend that come back often, who used to say, prominent versus preeminent. Right? What's the difference? If I told you that my wife was a prominent woman in my life, what would it mean? One among many. What if I told you she was the preeminent woman in my life? What does it mean? One above all. Right? And how often has God's voice simply become prominent to you? One important voice among many. He speaks, but along with so many others. When what we need is to allow Christ's voice, if he is our true master, if we have shed every other voice, that as a bond servant and a true slave of righteousness, his voice would be what? Preeminent, one above all, matched by none. That we would please him and hear him alone. That today it is easy to distinguish his demands from others' commands, right? And isn't that possible. In the church, we can create so many things, demands, things we feel, pressures, and sometimes they can go far beyond His call, His voice. Because there's a lot of things we can do, and I'm learning that. As we live on a farm, we always need help. We always have animals. We always have problems. We have neighbors who always have problems. And they've got neighbors. And you know what? I could spend 24/7 helping other people with their problems. I could. Doing other people's things. And yet there's time in which I have to what? Say no. This is my purpose. This is where I'm headed. This is what I have to get done. And I'm wondering today if any of you are like me, where the voice has gotten clouded by so many demands, by so many perspectives, by so many people, in which God's saying, I'm your master. Remember today, you're not just a servant, you've become a bond slave. Be distracted no more. And think about this. As a servant, a slave working 6 years, you'd always be looking for that seventh year, wouldn't you? One more year to go and I'll be free. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? How am I going to live? Preoccupied you could be in some ways of what's coming. Of what's around the next corner, of what's going to happen in the next season. Here's the beauty. Bond slave, no seventh year. Why? Because you chose it. You chose it. And in that moment, guess what? Not preoccupied with what might be, focused on what is. I've got some friends who I appreciate and love. Here's the thing. Where many I know and love, preoccupied with meeting that special someone. We've talked about that before. Preoccupied about envisioning. What will it be like one day? Who will it be? Where will I meet them? One friend, become totally content with singleness. Not looking, and in fact, though, might have the longings, not interested, enjoying the moment to the fullest. Why? Because I have right now what God has for me. And I love that sold out perspective, because there's not distracted what by might be. Do you see what I'm saying? Bond slave. I've chosen. Chosen singleness. I'm going to enjoy it and enjoy what the Lord has for me. I'm sold out to the Lord. I'm a slave for His righteousness. And I'm no longer looking. Remember Psalm 73? I looked at the ungodly. I looked at those who walk without God. And my feet came close to stumbling. Why? Because they speak and they have no pain. And it seems like they have pride and no hurt. Right? No bond slave. Why do you keep looking at your past freedoms? Why do you keep looking at your past life? Why do you keep looking back when today, if you've really chosen, if you're really a bond slave, look forward, what you have is Christ. Why do you keep looking elsewhere? Why do you keep looking at what was your master when today, I am your master? Why keep looking at what was your life, what might be your life, when today, I am your life? As Jesus speaks, He says this. He says, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. As He reminds them of these things, and Paul writes in Galatians 4, you are no longer a slave, but a son. That we are living and serving a good and faithful master. But here's the problem. You'd never choose slavery if you hadn't first tasted servanthood. And I find today that's where I fall and fail, is I still get caught in the discussion, I want to do my own thing. I want to have control of my life, my direction, my comfort. And I keep coming back to the verses in the Psalms in which it says, and I love, Psalm 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see." You see, as they were brought into slavery and they found they loved the master, they then chose. And today, I'm reminded that day by day, I need to taste and see that the Lord is good. And the more that I taste, and the more that I see, and the more that I know his goodness, I long to be his slave. But I won't see it if I'm not looking for it. I won't see it if I haven't first put myself in that place where I would release myself. And just as Jesus put himself on the cross as the ultimate servant, "Father, not my will, but yours be done," and allowed his flesh to be pierced into that cross, so too today, we will begin that walk. That journey starts today when we take our ear to the doorpost, allow our flesh to be pierced to the post, and say what? "Lord, not thy will, but yours be done." It all starts with laying down our lives as he laid his down. Picking up our cross and following him. It starts when we acknowledge that he is who we need and that today we might abide in him. And so my encouragement for you, as the Lord is encouraging me, is what does it mean not just to be a servant of God, but to become a bond slave of righteousness, to live a life set apart. And today, it starts with remembering who's your master. And I hope as this week goes on, the Lord might put his finger upon each and every one of our hearts as we look to him with that reminder of the many voices that we've become enslaved to. And for some, if you, perhaps like I, need to make your own manifesto to say, "Here's my purpose. Here's my journey. Here's what I'm here for." That today, I won't let the first distraction define my day, but that I'll walk in his way as a faithful slave to my master. Because who knows? The moment you get distracted, you could show up at home with a potbelly pig or find a cow in your minivan. But this is what happens when you step outside your purpose, right? This is what happens when you become distracted by the emotions of the moment. "Oh, I need that. No, wait. I'm a slave of righteousness. What I need in this moment is him. I need to go there. I need to eat that. I need to take that. I need to hear that. I need to see that." No, I need him as my eyes to see, as my ears to hear, as the Lord of my life, as the master of this slave. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that this morning we can be reminded that we are slaves. And today we choose our master. We can be masters to the many things in this world or masters to the one who sets us free from it all. Thank you that today you have chosen that slaves need to be free. And today we've been freed from sin so that we might live unto righteousness as true children and worshipers of your Son. Thank you that today you are faithful to speak, to put your finger on our hearts, to press on our consciences and our minds, to show us the places in which we've become enslaved. But I pray today by choice we might, as your Son, laid down his life for your great will, that we might allow that purpose, that choice, to now dictate the rest of our lives, the rest of our days, the moment by moment. Thank you that you are a light unto our feet and a director of our paths, that we too might live with purpose and only because you live within us. In Jesus' name, amen.